I pray that that will be true as we enter this series. Just wanted to say, to remind you, that on Good Friday evening, we have a traditional worship time. Don't miss it. I hope you're planning on attending, inviting neighbors and friends. It's a Spirit-led time together. We'll be celebrating communion as well that night. So please, 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 the Friday before Easter, obviously Good Friday. So please, invite, and show up. It's a great, great time of worship together. And then, too, I made the rounds, still trying to catch up from being gone. I still owe some of you about 7 hugs, I think. But we have a very large marriage class that's been meeting first service, so you may be missing some people. They're probably over there. They've been running high numbers there and hearing good benefits of that. But they'll be joining us, a lot of them, second. So I think it's called Marriage on the Rock, if I'm not mistaken, but it's been so helpful. So thank you. Wasn't last week, Rich, with Ann being here? I've heard so many good feedbacks about her testimony, her sharing, and it's been shared. Thank you. Again and again, I need all the help I can get. If Dixie won't dress me, my kids will. That's kind of scary as we get older, isn't it? Yeah. You know you're getting old when they come and lay out all your clothes on the bed beforehand. You're not your spouse, but your kids. Yeah. All right. I'm excited about this series. Of all the years, I was thinking on sabbatical how many times I've spoken to this crowd. Lots. I'm going to total it up sometime. But of all the topics, I'm sure I've hit some of these, but I've never spoken specifically and really fleshed out the Apostles' Creed, and that's what I want to do today. So Nate's saying, and I want to repeat the words for you. We'll kind of carry that through before the messages in this little series of 4 weeks. Ancient words, Michael W. Smith sang it. Anybody ever heard that before? It's on one of his albums, sure. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. And I jotted down a couple of verses there that I like, and a couple more later. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength to help us cope in this world where'er we roam. Ancient words will guide us home. I love the scripture that Anne started her testimony with last week in Psalm 40, but just the fourth verse especially, I think it's applicable today, because when we talk about this word believing and trust, they're very synonymous. But verse 4 of Psalm 40 says, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Doesn't say knows about the Lord. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. I pray that this truth will impact our hearts today. So, ancient words of life and hope. No matter where you find yourself today, I want to paraphrase again Ann Byler's words when she said, and I love the way she said it, remember? Life is hard, God is good. She didn't say but or and God is good, just a fact. Life is hard. Any agreement out there? But then she said even more strongly, God is good. In other words, all the time, that is true. So I want to dig down a little bit today and ask you, what do you truly believe? Not just say or give lip service to. What does your life, what does your family reflect? I believe what you believe about God shapes and gives direction to everything in your life. Your identity, your morality, your relationships, your kindness factors and level, your future and your eternity, and even more. It means that it's present and active at all times. I was thinking of some songs that talk about why believing is so important in God the Father that we'll be hitting today, those words. I thought of When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, but I love those words. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. That's what believing's all about. You put your weight down on what you say you believe. I surrender all, we sang, I grew up singing it. I will ever love and trust thee in thy presence, daily live. That's about surrender. And then I give you my heart, Lord. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Palms up, surrender. So today we're starting a series, whether you're familiar with it or not. If you've been in churches, you've probably heard it more than you know or more than you would think. But it's a series based upon timeless ancient words that we've been singing about from the Apostles' Creed. And so I'm calling it again, I believe. We thought we believe, but this needs to be personal. It's more than a we, all the way home. It's I choose to believe. This creed has shaped the Christian church for centuries. It's been misunderstood for sure, but it's been declared countless times on so many occasions. For example, in the Church of Nazarene, whenever we do ordinations that many of our staff have gone through, that Aubrey's going to go through before too awfully long, that's a part of that ceremony. And I want to explain it, because some of you, you hear Apostles' Creed and you stiff arm because you've heard that it says this or that or the other. But I'm talking about something that's been longstanding. Another verse of ancient words, holy words of our faith, listen, handed down from this age. How many of you know that things handed down aren't all bad? We need to hold on to those things. Came to us through sacrifice. We'll touch on it. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. I mistakenly typed impact, but that's good too. That's what it means. Imparting is about impacting for sure. So throughout the ages, these truths are unshakable. I heard you and felt you respond to the song, I Believe. Wasn't that a great? Did the Newsboys do that song some time ago? But those words, it's a manifesto. It's a declaration. They're not only worth living for. People are proving, not just in the past, but in these days, that these are words worth dying for. I believe. They're relevant to and have an impact on our lives today, especially in this world of cultural compromise and chaos. We've got to have a firm, unshakable foundation that we can build our lives on, that will stand and sustain our lives, and not only ours, but our kids and our grands. Amen? Man, I was full of songs as I was writing this week. I think in songs, and I'm Googling, and I'm playing it on Spotify as I'm typing. But we used to sing, Dixie remembers most of these older songs, In Times Like These. This is an old gospel song. In times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips a solid rock. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Have you ever heard that before? By the way, I know that you all can raise your hands in church, because last week when I spontaneously said, how many of you have ever been to Annie Ann's? I mean, you guys raised your hands. There were double hands raised, and you were waving your hand like you were proud of it. Hey, if you can raise your hand for Annie Ann, then you can raise your hand for Jesus. Got it? That's the first time some of you have ever raised your hand in church. By the way, they did it second service as well, so I just wanted to say that. The ancient creed, I believe. The firm foundation that stood the test of time, that stands the test of time for generations. So we'll take it section by section, line by line, and hopefully we'll actually commit it to memory, most of it. This goal is to help us firmly establish and strengthen that unshakable belief that there is only one true God. It's really a confession of faith. Did you know that? We believe that around here, don't you? There's only one true God, capital G-O-D. I want you to know it and believe it passionately. I want it to be a personal life declaration. That's my prayer. Because what you believe about God is shaping your life right now and is shaping your destiny eternally. This isn't a casual belief. Oh, yeah, I believe. You see, when you really believe, it changes your life. It turns your life in God's direction permanently. What does it mean? I've used this verse from The Message paraphrase all the time. I call it a pastor's paraphrase. But in Exodus 23, I love it. It's the shortest version of this verse that I found. No other gods, only me. Is that clear? God speaking. No other gods, only me. There may be gods, but they're spelled small g, small o, small d. God's all caps. How many of you know that? The Apostles' Creed, I'm saying again, is broadly accepted as the most ancient, concise, time-tested declaration of the Christian faith. I mean, it's succinct. It dates back to the 2nd century AD. You can find those things. And it was written based upon the apostles' teaching and the transformation that happened because of it. It was crafted in response to false teachings, but it wasn't like, you're wrong. Duh, you know, I'm going to send an email. I'm going to do a post. You're wrong. It boldly stated positively what we believe in, who we believe in. Don't you love that? How many of you know the world needs to know who we believe in and what we're for? You can draw many conclusions about what we're against if we know who we're for, because we want to align our world with God and His Word. It helped unify and strengthen early Christians around the essential doctrines of our faith. And I want to tell you, doctrines aren't about denominations. They have different twists on it. But doctrines are really important. If they've ever been, they are now more than ever. That's knowing what we believe and why we believe it. At the end of the day, though, no matter what, you can do all these things and study all these things, it's still going to come down to a matter of faith, a matter of belief, a matter of choice. You must choose. Choose this day who you believe, who you'll serve. Thinking about it, reading further, you can discover that it was formed at a time when Christianity was basically illegal. If you choose to believe and declare Jesus, your freedom and life were in grave danger. How do you know that in world areas today, many that's still true? Do you know that's true? And in fact, they tell us that there may be more religious persecution going on now than ever before because of the name of Jesus. Why would this be such a big deal if Jesus wasn't who he said he is? Do you ever think about that? Why would Israel be right in the middle of things? This little postage stamp of a country. Why would it matter what happens to Israel? I'm telling you, those are practical signs that the Bible is true. It always has been. No other gods, only me. Christianity was illegal, and it still is. And that creed back then when it was written was a powerful declaration. I'll call it a declaration of allegiance. I like that. Based upon unalterable truth. I'll say it again, worthy of laying down our lives for. And that doesn't mean just instantaneous death, but how do you know that in the spiritual sense of forgiveness of sins, of making him Savior and Lord, that there is a death that happens to have, a death to self? Isn't that what gets us in trouble? Self is represented by not what we want to do, but what we feel like doing that we many times get into and give into and lean into. Well, today we'll start for the first part of this Pledge of Allegiance. So I'm going to ask you to stand if you can, if you will. I hate to disturb you. Some of you are comfortable. You're into the second version of sleep. What's the second? You know, there's different waves of that. Some of you are even dreaming. You ought to hear what some of you say when you're dreaming in church. Would somebody record that, please? All right. So this is the simple first part. This is what we're going to deal with today. But I want you to say this, and it's just like when we talk about the Lord's Prayer, and I'll refer to that today. This isn't something just to declare. It's something we pray. It's something we believe. It's not something we say. It's passionately felt, okay? So out loud, let's read it together, and we'll probably do it two or three times here. Here we go. Ready? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. How do you think you can memorize that? Think you can? Now, I want us to read it again, but I want you to emphasize a word that's special to you. We're not going to all emphasize the same word, but, you know, I can't stand monotone reading or singing, but reading is the same thing. You know, it's just this dull voice. Okay, so as you read it, come on, put some gusto in it. Could you do that? Can everybody see it? All right, if you can't see it, Google it. You can pull it up. Here we go. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Does anybody believe in that today? Do you? Do you embrace that? How is that truth impacting you? Oh, I think we need to do it one more time. We're trying to get it in our mind, okay? One more time. Here we go. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Thank you. You can be seated before you pass out from standing too long in church. A creed. I believe, it's saying, in other words, paraphrasing, I believe so completely that I give my heart, my trust, my life to this timeless truth, no matter what the cost may be. The bar is never going to be lowered. That is the standard. When we say it corporately, we still must make it a personal declaration. I believe in God, and I'm breaking those up. Father, Almighty, Creator, today. We'll talk about that. It's the answer to the questions that are in the corners of your mind. What do you believe? What do you build your life on? What are you building your life on? It's not about preferences or opinions that come and go. culturally or values that come and go. It's about unshakable life principles, eternal truth, I'll say it again, that we base and build our lives on, that we raise our families and influence our grands on. So we'll look at these three words in three sections today. God is Father, God is Almighty, God is Creator. Hey, that'll radically shake up your worldview. That's my worldview. That's to be our worldview if we're followers of Christ. A.W. Tozer, he's written a lot of books, pastor from years gone by. He said something about this, and it's about shaping our identity. But he said, what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Could I read that again? What comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us, because quite frankly, so many of us have a skewed perspective of God, and it messes with all kinds of things when we don't get it straight. By faith today, what are you sure of? What are you sure of? I used to like a song that we sang in church growing up, too. Told you I was giving you a lot of song snippets today. I should have Dixie come up and sing all those songs, right? Name that tune. I'd be a dead man when I got home today if I did that. She sounds better than I do, for sure. But the solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. We're going to talk about the name of Jesus next week. Yeah. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And if that's not good enough, it repeats it again. All other ground is sinking sand. In other words, what are you building your life on, sinking sand or the rock? The solid rock. This is a challenge for all of us. Looking back here, I'm a little out of practice after 8 weeks. I want to make sure that I don't skip anything important. I skip all the time. I edit as we go, okay? So if you guys are kind of like this, I kind of skip that section and go, I'm not going back to that second service. No response, you know? That's what we do. So the first thing I want to say is God is Father, and all my years, 30-plus years here, and nearly 47 or 8 years that I've been in ministry full-time, and I really discovered the problem with this and the struggle that people have from this when I was a youth pastor, because so many of, and I'll take especially, it was both, but young boys who loved their father, but their fathers were just, didn't have time for them, and their view of God, it was hard for them to accept him because they couldn't get past that father word. And I know what's true. What was true of teens back then, that didn't just go away when we get in our 20s or 30s and 40s and 50s. And some of us are still viewing God through that cracked lens, and I want to address that. Because I believe that people all over the world are searching for and believe in some kind of God, just depending on how it's spelled, as I mentioned, and then end up inadvertently, maybe, or intentionally trying to make a God in their own image. And there are all kinds of ideas out there, but I believe and we believe that in the God of the Bible, one God, only me. God is personal. Jesus taught us to pray that way to God the Father. Does anybody remember what the first line of the Lord's Prayer is? What is it? What's the first two words? Our Father. When we were in Florida at Discovery Church, we went there one Sunday, and I only went to church one time in 8 weeks. No, just kidding. No, that's one of the places we went. Some of you go, that sounds like me. Out of sight, out of mind, you know? Sorry if I stepped on some toes there. I was greeting people last week, and I told Joel, I said, the only thing I want to do basically is meet and greet next Sunday. So I was going around that, and I noticed a lot of you, and I've said to a lot of you, I didn't hug you last week, did I? And see, that's never, you weren't here. That could be my faulty memory, but a lot of you go, oh, I wasn't here, I was here, I was there. You're just telling on yourselves. I recommend that. You can use those things. But I got thinking about it later. I was thinking about the people that didn't hug, and I think, man, I wonder if these people are still attending Worcester Naz, because, you know, I haven't seen you for 8 weeks, so I was fearful. I think that turned into a nightmare, if I'm not mistaken. But some of you redeemed yourself today. I just want to tell you that. You did. So let's push into that. Again, while we were at the Discovery Church, we heard a guy, and I don't know, his name was what, Dixon? Brad Gray. Has anybody heard of Brad Gray and a book he wrote called Bringing Heaven Here? Oh, you ought to mark it and get it. It's phenomenal. He spoke about the importance and the power of the Lord's Prayer. He did it. It was really, really powerful. But in his book, which I've gotten and begun to read, it says in Matthew 6:9, again, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And he says that is so powerful and life-changing that we see God as the Father that he is. Now, I want to remind you that this was radical and revolutionary teaching in those days because God was thought to be distant and impersonal, and sometimes people viewed him as harsh and cruel, and I think that's true today many times. But Jesus taught the truth about his Father God. The God of the Bible is personal, and he loves us. I wonder if you're looking at God through that broken lens, just asking. In our culture, as I mentioned, there are many who have difficulty viewing God as their Father because of their earthly experiences and realities, not just past, but even now, past and present. So we go to God's Word, the Bible, to discover what God the Father is like. You remember, did Chris Tomlin record that song, You're a Good, Good Father? That's who you are, who you are. Simple song, but so true. Could I just give you some thoughts on that? God the Father, who he is always present and active in your life right now. Hebrews 13:5b says, I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. And that goes back to the Old Testament. That was inserted there as well. I will never fail you, I will never abandon you. Are those words of comfort or what? Yeah. You see, God's not like earthly fathers. He's perfect. Don't we sing in a song, you are perfect in all of your ways? Second, God the Father is compassionate and kind. Psalm 103:13, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And that doesn't mean afraid of him, that hold him in the highest regard. Three, God the Father is always near. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed because he is near. He doesn't say, you will not go through difficult times. He just says, I'll be with you in difficult times. How many of you look for God in the difficult times? Four, I like this one. God the Father delights in you. I know a lot of grown men that are still trying to win the approval of their earthly father, who may be still here, or they may be impacted by an earthly father who's gone on and wasn't that way. They could never get approval. I want to tell you, the perfect Father delights in you. Listen to what it says in Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. All right. I harp on things, you know, and they become house language. I've been saying this lately every chance I get. Let's quit praying and begging God to be with us because we're in him. He is with us, and his word says he is. So we don't have to ask him, be with us, be with us, be with us. That's just one of those throwaway lines in prayer. I thank you that you are with me. I thank you that you're with my kids in Florida now. I thank you. You see the difference there? That may be a little nuanced, but I think it's important. Oh, I love it. He is mighty to save. Who is? The Lord your God. He will take great delight in you. Some of you are going, who, me? Yes, you. He takes right now. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you. Shh, it's okay. He'll comfort you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Man, that's like a blessing. Could I just remind you that you were created to worship him? And that's where this I believe business leads. You were created to worship him, and you'll never be fulfilled until that's the desire of your heart. And I say this often, but he, Almighty God, deserves and desires and delights in our worship. Do you know that? So if you're not giving him worship through your life, your I believe life, I wonder what God's missing out on. Wouldn't you hate for somebody else to do what he intends for you to do? In awe of you, we sing, now your presence fills this place. Be exalted in our, what? Praise. As we worship, not just in church, I believe you are near. God is the perfect Father. He's looking for you. He sees you right now. No surprises, nothing hidden from him. He's coming for you. Ann hit on that last week. He cares about you. He loves you. God the Father. It's just as natural as all get out, you know, growing up. When something happens, kids want to run to dad or run to mom or whatever. True? Run to daddy. I was thinking, wasn't there a movie, A Wonderful Life, and he's perplexed when the druggist remembers, gives the kid, he sends a poison out, and he sees this sign, something about ask dad or whatever. Isn't that just a natural thing? God wants us to run to him. Do you understand? He doesn't want us to run away from him. He wants us to run into his loving arms. Well, God is a father. I think I had a couple of things I wanted to mention about that. I want to back up a little bit because human fathers, when it comes to picturing God, can become a blessing or a barrier, right? Write this down on the flyleaf of your mind. God is not a reflection of your earthly father, period, exclamation point. Be that good, bad, or ugly. Did you hear me? God is not a reflection of your earthly father. Earthly fathers were never meant to define God. Whenever we look to man, what only God can fill, we'll be hurting for certain. Godly fathers reflect him. You see the difference? God is infinitely better than any human example that we've known because he is perfect in all of his ways. And if we think he's not, it's based upon many times our lack of understanding, many times our ignorance. God is almighty. Is your God almighty or is he puny? What's one of the first things we learned? If you've ever been around church, and I don't know, if kids in homes that are Christless are taught to pray, but it's usually some form. But I think the first prayer that I ever learned was, can anybody call it out? What's that? God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food. I wasn't always grateful for the food set before me from my mother, like casseroles and things like that, you know. No. But we would probably pray that in our family unit as well. That's one of the ways that we learn to pray. And you know what a profound statement that is? God is what? I should say, God is who? That identifies him. Isn't that a powerful statement? Are you living like your God is great? I love that. That just hit me this morning. We use great too loosely. In fact, I can't remember, you know, who you are, but a little conversation made me think about that, and I wanted to insert this because, like I tell you, I can't stand why we say perfect all the time. Anything perfect, perfect, perfect. It is not. Only God is perfect. Only Jesus lived a perfect life. And I think everything's great, 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 great. No, everything's not great, but God is always great. Why? Because he's almighty. That's who he is. Pastor, you just go to seed on these little things. No, those are fundamental things and mindsets that affect our lives, how we talk, how we believe, how we think. Are you with me? God is great. Let's tone down the greatness about everything else. Everything is not great. Hey, how you doing today, Taylor? Great. How you doing? Oh, great, great, great. Well, we're not always great. On our best day, we're not great. Oh, and I know theologically, we're not good, but God said when he created us, it's good, and what did he go on to say? It's very good. So there may be some goodness among man, but it's because God in us, but he is great. No other gods, only me. Nod your head if you got that. I mentioned these things because I hope it'll come to mind. I just said great five times in one sentence. may your heart turn to God and extol his greatness. He is almighty. He is almighty. All powerful. So important. Not only is he all loving, and we like that for sure, but he is almighty. All wise. Nothing is too difficult for him. And the scriptures say time and again, nothing is impossible for him. He is able. He is able. That doesn't mean he's going to do things our way. It just means that he's in charge and we're not, because he's great and we're not great. I think some of you are having trouble. Some of you are going to go out of here deflated or inflated. I'm not sure which day, because you came in here thinking you're great, and I just told you you're not. But God said you're very good. Is that okay? Omnipotent, having absolute power and supreme authority, unrivaled, uncontested, and unlimited in all creation, time, and existence. Yes, life is hard. So this is good news. When you struggle in a marriage or in other relationships, when you're dealing with anxiety, when you feel caught in the grip of fear, or when you experience deep hurt, you can hit your knees or you can cry out to him, Abba, Father, my Father. Daddy, as you deal with the realities of life, you can do that. He's personal, loving, all-powerful. There's no problem too big or too small for him to handle or to listen to. He's interested in everything. Oh, I think I heard adults say, you don't want to bother God with that. No, he's saying, Daddy, but, you know, as a dad, bother me. Have you ever had that? Your kid, your child, your grand comes to you later, and they tell you something was hard for them to say, and you go, oh, why did you wait so long? I wish you would have told me that a long time ago. That's our Father. Could I just remind you that you and I are not almighty? He is. And I think a lot of you are worn out, whether you know it or not, by trying to play God, because that only leads to discouragement, frustration, and exhaustion. You were never meant to carry everything, because you can't. You're not him. God is Father. He cares. He's almighty. He can. He can what? You name it. Yeah, that song by Hills. Mighty to save, he can move the mountains. Our God is mighty to save. I just read that in the scripture passage a little bit. Is your God almighty? God is the Father. He cares and loves for sure. God is almighty, so he can. I want to say that again. He can. Fill in the blank. You can't. We can't, but he can. You can't save yourself, and you can't save anyone else, but he can. He already did. It's just up to us to receive what he's done on our behalf. Finally, God is creator. It never fails for me when I'm out in the country somewhere on a clear night, and when I look up into the night sky and the stars hung so beautifully there, it just takes my breath away. Can anybody relate to that? And that's every time I do it, if I think about it, if I take time, it is a spiritual experience. And all these songs come to mind. He hung the stars in place, put the world in space. Wow. The greatness of God is expressed in so many of the things he's created for us to joy, but not to worship. Amen? Did you hear me? He's created all these things, but we've turned them into idols, and we worship the God, the things he made, instead of the God who made them all. Which is greater? Wow. One of my favorite verses in Romans 11:36 that says, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. So all glory to him forever. Amen. He's the creator of everything. Everything comes from him. There were false teachings beginning to arise in the days of the early church. You can study it, that they claimed that all material things were evil. God only cared about things spiritual, but the Apostles' Creed clearly, boldly proclaims, God is the Father Almighty, creator of heavens and earth. God created everything that is, and as I mentioned, said it was good, and of you and me, very good. John 1 goes on to say, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 3, God created everything through him, Jesus, and nothing was created except through him. Do you believe that? I don't think we have to fully understand it to believe it, because I'm going to say at the end, no matter what your study, what your head is full of, it's got to still travel the 18 inches to your heart. There's a lot of us that have a whole lot of God consciousness in our head, but we're not even going to make it to heaven because we've never allowed that to travel that highway to our heart. It's a must. It's not an option. I believe that in the beginning, God created heaven and earth and for his pleasure and for ours, and it is good. James 1:17 bears it out when it says, every good and perfect gift is from above. How many? Every. That's why we need to praise him and thank him and live in that attitude of worship. Coming down from the Father, there's the word of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Say shifting shadows 7 times as fast as you can, and you'll be in trouble. I've done it. Well, do you believe? Okay, Travis, would you join me on stage here a moment, please? And we're going to use this as a point over here, this reference. So I gave you a little bit of heads up. Hey, Mike, would you come up and be a victim, please? By the way, this is my friend Travis. He used to head our campus crew here for, you did it for a number of years, but you've been gone, what, 10?
Yes.
Unbelievable. And now he has a great ministry at the Triway Schools there, represents Jesus and loves kids. Aren't we proud of our people who serve in capacities like that? And I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And people and teachers tell me about your kindness and your helpfulness and all of that. So I'm grateful for that. All right. So Mike, I want you to come here. And I want you to stand. Let's pretend this is the line, and you kind of face the wall there, okay? All right? Move over a little bit. I don't want any crash landings here. Okay. And, yeah, you kind of measure it out there. All right. Now, when we were at camps and things like this, and teen camp speakers, you remember this? Yeah. Yeah. They'd talk about faith and trust, and they'd go, hey, you know, it's one thing to believe, but if you really believe, you're going to close your eyes and you're going to drop straight backwards, okay? And if Mike doesn't have enough faith, I'm going to get somebody up here who does in just a moment, okay? Reminds me of the old story I heard of Blondin in Niagara Falls. You can look that one up too. You know, oh, he walked back and forth with a wheelbarrow on a tightrope, and then, you know, Blondin, they're chanting his name, and he said, do you believe? Oh, we believe. And he said, who's going to get in the wheelbarrow? And nobody did. This is faith in action. This is faith in action. So it's not Mike just saying, I really believe in Travis that he's strong enough. Could you give him an arm pose there?
No,
he's a little humble for that. I chose him because he works out regularly. I don't know who I'm going to choose second service. Some of you, I would not get up here in a catch position. Believe me. All right. So I want you to give him enough room so he feels like he's free falling. I mean, right. don't catch him up here. That's little faith. I want great faith. Okay, can you do that, Mike? All right. He just went to the other side of the stage. No, don't look at the screen. All right. So in other words, you say this is silly. No, this is about God saying to us, do you really trust me? If you do, you're going to fall into my arms of love. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Travis might drop you, but I won't. All right, I'm going to count to 3. And on 3, I don't want your arms flailing or anything else. I just want ultimate trust here. Let's count it down for him. Ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. All right. Give him a hand. Thank you. Thanks, Mike. Thanks. Thanks, Travis. Thanks. Thank you. Pastor, you're being awful simple. Well, I'm a youth pastor at heart, and it took those kinds of things to get teens' attention to get through to them. And we're not unlike them. A long time ago when I was first starting to pastor and preaching, I thought, man, I'm not connecting. And I felt like the Holy Spirit reminded me, hey, you've connected with teens for all these years. If you can connect with teens, you can connect with adults. Got it? That's why many times I use illustrations when I can. So let's get back to where we started as we conclude. Faith must become personal. You can't grandfather it in. You can't inherit it. You've got to choose it. It's kind of like riding a bike. Did any of you ever have training wheels? Do they have training wheels? I know you can't raise your hands in church. Just nod your head. Let's start with that. You remember when you had training wheels? Anybody? My parents wouldn't get training wheels. It must have been $1.25 or something because they wouldn't spend the money for it. Just go out and wreck a few times until. My brothers and sister were my training wheels. Can anybody relate there? But you know, are you really riding a bike when you're still using the training wheel? Well, no, you're trusting them. But at some point, you have to say, wheels off. I'm riding a bike because it's on me. And that's how it is with matters of faith. A lot of you, I hear people tell me all the time about a godly grandmother and grandfather or the influence and friends, and I'm thankful for that. But their influence isn't going to get you to heaven. You got to claim it by faith. I believe and I receive. Have you? That's on my heart so much because so many, we have a growing congregation and Sunday in, Sunday out, just because you're here and you understand things, that doesn't mean you're headed to heaven because it comes down to this statement of belief. I believe, I choose to believe and I receive. The training wheels need to come off and you need to trust the one. This is one of my favorite chairs in the world, of which there are several. The church got us this for our 10-year anniversary. Is that right there, 10 years? Remember they had it up at the event center, walked in, a wonderful Amish table that Deb took Dixie to pick out unbeknownst to her. I think she kind of lied to her. Put Deb on your prayer list. This was years ago. I love it because they're so sturdy. And I mean, I can get choked up when I think about the hundreds and thousands of people that sat in these chairs, and they still are. But you know, I'm trying to break it down as simple, this I believe thing. You can understand, you can explain to me the structure of the chair and it's Amish made and it's so solid and for sure. But the real faith test is it going to bear your weight? Oh yeah, well, I know. Look at that oak, that's strong wood and all that. No. When is faith activated? When we choose to put all of our weight on the chair. I should have rigged it so it would have collapsed when I sat on it. I didn't think of it in time. So could I just ask you, have you ever sat down and rested in your belief and faith in God? I believe. I believe. It's not him. He's great, I'm not, but he's good. And I'm going to trust him with everything. I'm going to trust him with those things that will consume my life. I resign from trying to be almighty because I'm not, never could be, but he is. And let your worship soar. Is this making a bit of sense? I went back and read, listened to a couple of readings from Lockridge and all of that, and E.V. Hill, wonderful pastors of years gone by. And the one, that's my king. I mean, what eloquence, brilliance written. But I just want to summarize by saying today, I believe in the God of the Bible. How about you? He keeps his promises to all generations. He parts the seas and makes a way where there is no way. He brings walls down and takes down giants with just a stone. He commands the wind and the waves to obey him. He restores the broken. He heals the sick. He raises the dead. He became flesh in Jesus. He died so we could live. He brings dead things out of their graves and back to life. Do you believe? That's the God we believe in. He knows you. He calls you by name. He goes before you. He fights for you. He never leaves or forsakes. He was and is to come. He's coming back again. He'll defeat death forever, and he'll wipe away every tear from your eye. What do you believe about God? What you believe shapes your life and your destiny, and that changes everything. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand, if you would, if you could, as we conclude. So we've talked about God as a father. If you're looking at that distortion through a cracked lens, what do? You change your lens. You don't get a different God. You change the lens. And some of us need to do that today by making this confession one more time. Could you put that back up on the screen one more time before we close with the song? Before we close with the song. I believe. Here we go. Come on, let's say it loudly. As a declaration of allegiance to Almighty God. Here we go together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And how many of you know that about sums it up? Would you agree?